Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the latest video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout, looking ahead to the 23-24 season. It's team reveal time. We've had a number of these over the summer and they are continuing as our teams evolve, as pre-season gives us more information. This time it's Mark Joblin, and who's offering a good indicator of how our drafts are looking at this stage of the season, which is pre-season is underway. We're not yet at the sort of Champions Shield, so sort of the Community Shield side. They're playing sort of lesser sides at the moment, so we've got a bit of information but not too much. Mark, welcome, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. I think, how are you?
Yep, good. Busy this week, got more content coming up, and you're busy as well as a writer for Fantasy Football Scout. You and the team and Neil and Tom and others are busy writing lots of articles. I know we've got a pre-season one we've just recorded that's coming out today as well, and lots more videos and podcasts and articles too. So yeah, busy time for you. So it's probably quite good for you to be able to do your first draft for your team, because you've got loads of information, because it's sort of your job. You're just writing about these things anyway.
Yeah, well, in theory, that should be an advantage, shouldn't it, writing about it? But, you know, sometimes I do think when the season starts, has there been overthinking involved? Like, was the initial draft at the start the best one, and have just sort of been influenced by, led astray by too many other people?
Have you done that? I remember speaking to, I think it was Ross, actually. I did a Meet the Manager video with him, and one of the things that he did was take a screenshot of your first original team, and then look back at that and see what's changed and why, and perhaps are the reasons good enough for them to change. So, I mean, is that something you've done? Just sort of kept your first ever, first draft, you know, when the game launched, and see how different it is to it is now, which is a number of weeks since the launch.
Yeah, I think, well, on the Wednesday when the game did launch, it was sort of immediately on a video with David. Mm-hmm. So it did sort of put a very quick, maybe it was a 0.5 draft. I don't know if I'd say first draft, but yeah. So there's video evidence of what those initial thoughts were. And things have already changed. It did sort of immediately go for 3-5-2.
Okay.
Immediately. And yeah. I just don't like four-man defenses.
No.
I just don't like doing it. I like the cheer on goals, not clean sheets. But it is tempting because there's some good options in that sort of price bracket in defense. But yeah, it probably a good idea just to sort of have a screenshot and see, right, on deadline day, how much have we listened to other people, and how much is our own good instinct?
I think now part of the game. So when I first started doing it, then when you first started as well, I mean, there wasn't so much thing on Twitter. There was Fantasy Football Scout Forum. That was the main sort of the only one I used at the time. But now there's all sorts of other places and lots of other influence coming in, and shows and podcasts, videos like this, podcasts like this. And there's a lot of information going on. And part of the skill now, I think, is to take that information in and use it, but not be overly influenced on certain information and not be swayed by things. So if you see everyone going for a particular player, if you want to go for that player as well, have reasons for it, but don't just blindly go for that player. And I find that that's a skill we must all adapt to and learn each season, I think.
Yeah, completely. And yeah, the game's always evolving. That's the thing. So the same method might not work this time going forward. And it's still early in the window, as we've seen with pre-season, and so many transfers haven't happened yet. Certainly, if there's any between Premier League clubs, maybe we get that 4.5 midfielder. Maybe that emerges. Maybe Balogun, 4.5 forward, gets a Premier. So much could change.
There's so much different. I remember this stage last season, all the talk was about big at the back, because the defenders had done so well especially towards the end of the previous season. So you saw a lot of, I'm going to have a 5-man defence, I'm going to have 4 in defence. And the reality was that we were somewhere in the middle. Like most things, it's a bit of moderation. There's some good defenders, but there's still cheap ones and you want to have in your side. And so I think one of the reasons I did well last season was because I just went for 4-4-2 because it was flexible and I didn't know. and I always start off with the premise I'm wrong. And I think this season is different because we haven't got a 4.5 midfielder. So it just lends itself to a 5-man midfield, doesn't it? And as you said, do you really want 4 defenders? So it sort of lends yourself to 3 defence. And we all want Haaland, and I'm presuming Haaland's going to be in your team. And there's room for another, and maybe we don't want 3 strikers. And so it's sort of evolved already into something very different to last season.
Yeah. I remember last season, sort of, even though I'm not a 4-man defence guy, it did start with 4-4-2 because you know it felt like you had to have Trent and Cancelo and Reece James, and then things changed pretty quickly. So, yeah, and actually started last season with Haaland and Jesus up front. So, a bit of deja vu.
Yeah. So there are similarities. I do have Haaland and Jesus in my team. I also have a very similar defense, but it's a bit different this season. I haven't gone for 4. I went for 4 last time and gone for 3 myself. Let's see what you've been doing then. So we're going to put your team up. And then we'll discuss, we'll go through the positions, go through the players. It's going to be familiar. I'm getting a lot of feedback. These people go, these team reveals are the same. But every time I listen to them or watch them, I always pick up some new bit of information. And it really does influence my decisions. So, and I don't think this is going to be any different because there's some different, slightly different names here because pre-season and the comings and goings in the transfer market starting to dictate how we're thinking about our early draft. So let's put your team up. And what I'm going to do is, for the benefit of those listening on the podcast version, I'm just going to go through the names and then we'll go into detail on it. So you've got Ramsdale in goal with Areola on the bench in a 3-5-2. You've got James, Shaw, Estupinan as your 3-man back line. And on the bench, you've got Botman and Baldock, who's only 4 million from Sheffield United. And meanwhile, across your midfield, you're playing all your midfielders, Rashford and Bomo, Foden, and we'll come to him in detail in a bit, Saka and Fernandes. And meanwhile, up front, Haaland, who's obviously got the captaincy for game week 1, and Jesus. So there's your deja vu from last season. You've also got Archer on the bench. He's been in my draft as well. He was in my team reveal video and a number of others because we think he'll start. But we'll come to him in a bit. Not sorry, start. We think he'll get minutes. Watkins will start. I'm not sure, apart from Duran, who else they've got. So we think he'll get some kind of minutes. So that's the team. Before we look at the players, what's your general thinking here? We spoke about 3-5-2, but have you got any money in the bank? What's your general feeling about not having Salah?
These are a bit instinctively went with Salah, but then just the amount of midfield options just became overwhelming and ended up asking the question, okay, if you're having Haaland, you can't really have him and Salah and Alexander-Arnold. So out of those two Liverpool guys, which one gives the better sort of which one's easier to sacrifice, you know, and if I can sort of justify not having Salah if the five midfielders are all brilliant. And I'd like to think that hopefully there's a couple of names there that haven't been. There's no Sterling, there's no Son. I don't have a Brighton one there. Matoma and Enciso have sort of been there all along until this draft. So it can at least, if in both cases with Trent and Salah, you can say, well, if you can't have them, at least have someone brilliant in their place.
Okay.
I tend to think with defense, I try to pick a long-term defense that maybe looks good for like 10 game weeks or so, because I don't really want to use transfers on defense. And maybe the midfield can be a little bit sort of maybe 5 or 6 weeks and a midfield that covers the price points as well. Mm-hmm. So I like a long-term defense and then early transfers to sort of be flexible because you've got a midfielder that's that price.
Okay. So, I mean, I mentioned, we're going to the players now. So we mentioned one key player you don't have, Salah. Of course, you also mentioned another key player you do not have. So those looking at the screen or remembering back to that defence, it was James Shaw, Estupinan, and then Botman and Baldock on the bench. No Trent Alexander-Arnold. So given that Liverpool have Bournemouth in game week 2, but Chelsea in game week 1, how confident are you going into game week 2 without Salah or Trent? Because I personally have Trent at mine and I feel quite comfortable with that.
Yeah, I'm not confident at all.
Okay.
At all. Until I'm sending you this draft, there'd always been one of the two in. Recently, it was sort of Trent instead of Reece James. Mm. And instead of Foden, it was Enciso. But yeah, at the moment, it's back to James and Foden. It probably will be quite painful to be without one of them, never mind two of them.
Yeah.
I keep trying to justify it by saying, well, Salah famously did not contribute in the 9-0 against Bournemouth last season. No. But
I think he's had one, maybe two assists since 2017-18 in game week 2.
So these are great stats to hear in terms of like trying to comfort myself. But ultimately, football, you know, we shouldn't rely too much on past statistics.
Okay.
I was, even before the prices came out, I wasn't particularly keen on getting Trent.
Okay.
Because I just don't trust their defense.
No, okay. That's fair enough, yeah. I mean, that's the bread and butter of a defender in FPL, whether they play in defense or not. The bread and butter is 4 points from a clean sheet.
Yeah, and maybe Alexander-Arnold, maybe he is the exception because he is inverting into midfield now, and he had a streak. He had a really good streak of assists in those later weeks. Fixture proof, arguably.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, their fixtures, apart from Bournemouth, aren't great. And their defense conceded the third most big chances last season. I think even Southampton did better than that. And when they did have 5 clean sheets in a row, their expected goals conceded was 4.84. So there's a little bit of luck to that. So yeah, he does provide assists, but then you think if he concedes at the same time, I don't know, could that money be better used elsewhere? It's like we're saying, is it less painful to go without Trent or Salah? If I don't have Trent, then I at least want very, very attacking fullbacks like James, Estupinan, possibly Pedro Porro.
So essentially, before we sort of come from the back and then go through in detail the players, essentially, without Alexander-Arnold, there's no weaknesses at all. You're not relying on a 4.5 goalkeeper. You've still got a bench, and there's no weaknesses in the starting 11. They're from teams like Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal, and ones, for example, Estupinan. It's got a good favourable fixture. Starting off against Luton at home. So that is the benefit, and that is something I'm not seeing in other drafts. So when people go, oh, these drafts look the same, well, there's no Alexander-Arnold in this one, no Salah, there's no Liverpool. So that, but it shows you what you can do with the money. And I'm personally looking at this now and I can't fault it, because you haven't got, you haven't piled the money into Alexander-Arnold. So you, all of these players should get you points. So let's go through it in detail. So one of the benefits, you can afford Ramsdale. You can splash out. This is Christmas. It's Ramsdale. But you can get the Arsenal goalkeeper at home to Nottingham Forest and then grid fixtures at the start. So, yeah. I mean, is this... Why Ramsdale? And does this cement lack of Alexander-Arnold in your team?
It could do. It's... So I'm not against having a £5 million goalkeeper. Now, maybe that's Onana if Manchester United sign him and he gets added. And it's a big if, because they did keep the most clean sheets last season, Man United. But if he was, as a new player, given £5 million, that could be a nice way to save, maybe not have Shaw, but Gabriel in defence, because I really like Gabriel, really. In all honesty, I know at the moment it's Ramsdale and not him. I'm not particularly keen on Pickford as an option. I know he has good looking fixtures, but again, Everton, not particularly high on that. It could be Flecken at Brentford. It could be. But Arsenal kept 10 clean sheets away from home and only 4 at home.
Yeah.
But it is Nottingham Forest who travelled terribly last season. I think the equivalent game last season was 5-0. I'm really shocked at Gabriel's price, considering he had the best expected goals of all the defenders last season.
So if Onana comes in, he would replace Ramsdale. So say he's 5.5, would you still go for him and then replace Shaw with Gabriel?
If Onana's 5.5?
Yeah.
That's a tough one to call, really, because Shaw is a fullback and he does contribute getting forward, and Gabriel's a centre back. But as I say, Gabriel did have the XG, so it's hard to definitively say who is more likely to bring attack and returns there.
More likely, let's say Onana. I mean, I would say he's going to be 5. Judging by if Ramsdale's 5, why would Onana be 5.5?
Yeah, it would be purely based on the team, really, wouldn't it? Because
Arsenal was, last season and arguably this season are better.
Yeah, arguably.
Better prospect this season.
Arguably. I've just got to hope that they don't look at Man United's 17 clean sheets and say, oh, well, he's joining the best defence, so he's got to be priced as the best. I really hope that they don't do that.
No.
We'll find out.
Okay, so say he's 5 million then. That sounds like you could have Onana and Shaw, possibly, but you could have Onana and Gabriel.
And yes, and that saves £500,000.
Saves £500,000. I was going to say, so you've got, we'll come to James in a second. You've got Estupinan there. Now, I believe that Steele is going to retain the jersey in the league, because I believe Verbruggen has been brought in for Europe because of his European experience. And he's also only 20. And I don't see what Steele has done wrong to not be the number one. Pre-season will tell us more. But Estupinan is 5 million and Steele is 4.5. So I personally have got Gabriel and Steele rather than Ramsdale and Estupinan. And obviously there's a saving there. Would you be tempted by that? Would you go for Steele over Estupinan if you had a sort of a 99.9%, 100% guarantee that Steele is number one?
Yeah, if something like that was said, if De Zerbi put his faith behind Steele in a press conference, then that is an option completely, because we might get to a stage where any sort of £500,000 gains is important. If I'm trying to cram Alexander-Arnold back in there,
yeah,
that would be one nice path to do it.
Yeah.
I think I'm still a bit haunted by, I had a opinion for a lot of the second half of last season, mm-hmm. but then benched him when he got that haul at Arsenal. Yeah. Goal, assist, clean sheet, 17 points, all from the bench. And maybe that's a factor. Maybe that's on the mind a bit.
I don't think he's a benchable player in any game particularly, but I don't own him. So at the end of last season, I went for Steele over Stupinan. And of course, yeah, you miss out on some of those 17s, but Steele was racking up a lot of bonus and save points as well. And so, I mean, at the end of the season, I finished top 10K. So it clearly didn't harm me by going Steele over Stupinan. And so that's probably my thinking. But obviously everyone's a bit different. But I don't know, something to consider, definitely. A bit more of a saving of money.
Yeah, it's you're right. It's completely, he is on the list. If it looks more and more clear that Steele is going to be, like you say, the league starting goalkeeper, then yeah, it could be. I just think Stupinan, from game week 20, no defender had more penalty area touches.
Okay.
And stuff like that that makes you think, well, yeah, if I'm not having Trent, then I at least want three defenders like Estupiñán and Estupiñán. It's just sort of making up for that fault, really. But yeah, that could be a nice saving, of course.
Okay, and then your other starting defender is James. So while we're talking, I'm going to put up a picture of the fixtures. And I've got the first eight fixtures, and I've got these from the season ticket Fantasy Football Scout. And there's a handy little prompt there for people to subscribe. Make sure you subscribe to this channel. Make sure you press like as well. But also have a look at the Fantasy Football Scout members area. The season ticker is among the crown jewels there. And this shows we've sorted this by fixture difficulty. First eight fixtures is Chelsea at the top. So yeah, they start with Liverpool, but there's West Ham, Luton at home, Forest at home, Bournemouth away, Villa at home, Fulham away, Burnley away. These are really great fixtures, absolutely top of the ticker here. So you've got James. Have these fixtures influenced you, and how worried are you about James' legs?
Extremely worried. It's what I was saying earlier about trying to think long term with the defense. When you look at the fixture ticker, it does look like a Chelsea defender would be useful, and James is an attacking one to cover up for no Trent. But yeah, he's my genuine FPL enemy. Like
your nemesis. So many.
He got a haul a couple of seasons ago. He scored twice against Newcastle, which hurt as a fan, and it also hurt because they just sold him. And he scored twice and kept a clean sheet at St. James's, 21 points. And it was just, that was the start of just a horrible story with him. So I don't know if having him is sort of like trying to make amends with him. But he is the last thing you would call James as a long-term pick. So who knows? Maybe he could be Chilwell. Maybe Fofana, 4.5, if he looks... There's just so many names there still at Chelsea. They're doing an okay job at selling some, but there's so many questions about them. It's a bit of a wait and see approach. I feel the same about Pedro Porro. Like I am such a fan of him. Not seeing him mentioned a lot online. He's so attacking.
Yeah.
Three goals, three assists. And he was only there for half a season. And again, just like James, his fixtures get really good from week three. So, but in both cases, it's new managers.
Yeah.
No friendlies yet. How are they going to play? So much to ask. But yeah, Reece James, maybe he won't.
I guess looking at those fixtures, looking at, you mentioned the Spurs fixtures, and with a defender like that, if you don't go for James, perhaps Chilwell, and you want them for the long term, so Chilwell might be the option there. But nevertheless, you mentioned about Tottenham, and yeah, they've got Brentford to start. Brentford are good attacking with or without Tony. Then they got Manchester United. So you don't expect too many defensive returns there. But then you've got, as you got, you said, you've got this great run. You've got Bournemouth away, Burnley away, Sheffield United at home in game week 5. It's a really good run. And then it gets poor again. You've got Arsenal and Liverpool, so you don't expect many clean sheets there. And then you've got Luton away, so then it gets better again. But this this is not what you want from a defender you want to play week in, week out, is it?
No.
So I can see why you've gone for James over someone like Porro.
Yeah, and it depends on having Sven Botman is the 4.5. Maybe that's, again, that's a long-term pick because Newcastle's games don't get good until, I think, game week 5 or 6. So that is a long-term decision in mind. But maybe it would be better to pick a 4.5 that can rotate with a Porro in those early weeks. Maybe I've just sort of by default gone for Botman because I just think having a 4.5 defender from one of the best backlines of last season is hard to resist.
Definitely.
But James, yeah, he's fully expecting it to backfire. We saw the other day that he was being precautionary tested before Chelsea flew out for their tour, and that brings back memories. So,
I think the most frustrating thing as a James owner last year was... I can only remember a couple of times actually getting his hauls, but it was the not knowing. I think it was the worst. James is definitely injured. We did get that for his long-term injury, but most often it would be, oh yeah, he's ready to return, or yeah, he's seen in training, or he's scored in training, or he's just played in Europe. You come to Friday and then you get the team news and they go, we're not sure if he's going to play. We're having a test again. It's not what you want, basically. But nevertheless, if he is fit and he isn't playing, as you said, he scored a couple of goals against your side. And, to get a 2-goal haul from a defender, I mean, that's Stoke Robert Huth territory. That's Shawcross at Stoke. That's how much they live in your memory. I'm remembering Stoke defenders in the Premier League.
yeah, completely that. Like, you sort of remember the astute bananas, the James Halls, they sort of stick in the memory. Yeah. And yeah, it's an attacking force. So there's a good scout report on our website about Pochettino's style of play. And I think they say that the fullbacks provide the width when it comes to attack, and that's Reece James, isn't it? That's him. There might be a slight chance. Is there a chance that he could be penalty taker?
It could be. Nkunku could be the one. But of course, they don't have Jorginho or Havertz anymore at Chelsea. So it could be Nkunku. It could be, I mean, Sterling has taken them before. For clubs and country, I think he's aiming one for his country, certainly in a penalty shooter, I think. But anyway, he has experience, so who knows? But yeah, James has taken him, so that would be amazing, because then that even lives further into the memory, because that brings me back to Graham Alexander at Burnley. And if I was really old, which I am really old, I'd be Stuart Pearce, but he predates fantasy games. But yeah, a penalty-taking defender, get him in your team, irrespective of the price, because it's just such a wonderful thing. Leighton Baines, probably the greatest of them all.
But, yeah, exactly. And Chelsea don't have Europe at all, so there will not be any rotation or anything like that. They'll be fresh every weekend.
Oh, good stuff. I'm quite envious to know James, but I do have Alexander Arnold in my defence. So, you know, swings and roundabouts. let's move on to your midfield. So one of the things, no Salah, no Alexander Arnold, you can afford a very, very good midfield as well as a good defence and goalkeeper. So you've got Rashford and Bomo, Foden, Saka, Fernandes. Let's go for the double Manchester United. Why have you got both?
Yeah, Rashford, he made a mockery of his 6.5 price last season, and he exploded after World Cup. lots of big chances. I think only Haaland. I might have had more. And I just really like him. Manchester United have good start at home to Wolves. So that one is fairly self-explanatory, perhaps. And he also could be out of position. He could be up front if they don't quickly sign a forward. Bruno Fernandes, I actually don't like traditionally going with him.
Mm.
Like, certainly, like, at the end of last season when he was popular, I was just avoiding that. I'm just not a massive... But even I admit that that price is ridiculous, like 8.5 million. And therefore find it hard to go without. At the moment, that could change. He created the league's most chances. Will Mason Mount boost or dampen his prospects? We'll find out about that. And he's also downgradable when the time comes. You know, he could become Sterling or Foden. Well, Foden's already there, but Madison, for example. So that's why I'm currently, you know, Salah, because there's so many appealing midfielders. Like, if you can sort of comfort yourself by at least having a mega midfield, if there's no Salah there.
I mean, the same principle. That will be a common theme running through all of these videos. But the double Manchester United is interesting. Mason Mount interests me because he has in the past been a good FPL asset. And if he's playing a similar role to Fernandes, as in an advanced midfield role, if he's getting into the box and scoring, if he's supplying assists, possibly on the more on the right hand side, sort of inside right, then that makes him very appealing. But I mean, Fernandes has the penalties, but I'm not sure it's worth 1.5 extra if Mount is doing well. So Mount could be an option for you as well.
Yeah, 7 million. The last thing we need is more great midfield options, mind. But yeah, I think the heat map suggested that Fernandes had a slight tendency to go to the left, and Mount's best season at Chelsea, he was slightly to the right. So theoretically, that they could go quite well together. Okay. But we don't know yet. But so yeah, even for, not only is he downgradable to Sterling and people like that, he could be Mount. Could absolutely be Mount. A sacrifice has to be made either way when it comes to the Liverpool guys. So you may as well pick the sacrifice that has the more spectacular alternatives.
Yeah, the pricing has been, I think, good in terms of gameplay this season because choices have to be made. It's not like last season where everyone was so cheap, you just get everyone in and you could start with Salah and Haaland. But you can't this season, you can't have two premiums and have a team like this. So you've got to make sacrifices. I'm going to sort of partially skip over Saka because Saka's he's great. He's 8.5. He's been underpriced. Thank you, FPL. And he's on penalties and Arsenal have great fixtures and he starts with Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
There's nothing much more to be said. He pretty much should be in every team. Really.
Yeah,
I can't see any reason why he shouldn't be.
Yeah, in terms of promoting another Scout article, we did a comparison piece on the Arsenal mids the other day. And yes, Odegaard had better creative stats. Martinelli had a better rate of goals and things. But Saka, now that he's only 0.5 more, last season there was a big price gap. Now there isn't. No. So you may as well go for Saka.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Bryant and Bomo... hasn't had preseason yet for Brentford, but we're obviously expecting him to play there either behind a striker or on the wing with Wissa or Sade or perhaps Brennan Johnson if the rumours are true and he is wanted by Brentford and goes there. Nevertheless, he's a good asset, but it's a tricky first game. How wedded are you to Mbomo? And can I tease you for a Brighton midfielder who's the same price? And play Luton first.
Yeah, totally could. I think Mbeumo, he's been in every thought of mine so far, really. But because Tottenham at home, like Tottenham, their defence is not something to fear, especially with Postecoglou, where it sounds like he's quite an attacking manager. And in the final couple of weeks of last season, Brentford went to Spurs and beat them. I think it was 3-1, and Wemo and Vissa were part of all that. So yeah, I think I quite like his fixtures. He's probably on penalties while Tony's out. Mm-hmm. Between Mbeumo and Wissa, they had 29 returns between them last season. And almost half of them came in just 5 matches without Tony. So, like, when Tony doesn't play, those two are spectacular. And Tony isn't playing for a few months. Therefore, Mbeumo.
And also, just put the fixtures back up again. Obviously, they have to do, well, as they've got a debatably tricky game against Tottenham. It could be quite good for attacking returns. But then they've got this lovely run of Fulham away, Crystal Palace at home, and Bournemouth at home. So he's got a very nice run there for their defence and their attack. Gets a bit trickier with Newcastle, but then it gets a bit better again. Everton, Nottingham Forest. So it's a nice early run over the first 7 or 8 game weeks. I've actually removed Mbeumo from my first job, but he'd probably go back. You probably convinced me to put him back.
Well, you're probably going to convince me with Mitoma, which you're the right person to ask.
Well, but, yeah, I mean, he is a great winger. I'm going to be honest though, from an FPL perspective, he might pass the eye test more than the FPL test. In that he always looks amazing. He has literally a degree in dribbling. That is from a university in Japan. He's a doctor of dribbling. You know, he's not... I don't think he's as good a goal scorer as people perhaps think he looks, because he looks so amazing when he's sort of dribbling and moving past players. But I think you're going to get some good returns there. And he's playing Luton at first, and Brighton have similarly very good fixtures early on. But the thing is, you've got the price point there, 6.5. There's a lot of choice there. I've been so enamored with Bowen pre-season, but in general, I've gone for him instead of Mbeumo. I've scrabbled a 0.5 together from somewhere else. But that may change. I may remove Bowen back to Mbeumo. It's in flux, but there's a lot of choice there.
Even Bowen, as you say, he's had a price drop, good start of preseason, and he's another fantastic option at 7 million. It's so hard to say. When it comes to I was a little bit disappointed with Mitoma in it from an FPL perspective, because he kept him due to the many Brighton double game weeks. So it was kind of, it felt bad to get rid, but he didn't score after game week 29.
No, and there was a lot of rotation then, just because it was the end of the season and they had so many matches.
End of the season. And I think he exploded early on, but he never, after game week 26, he never scored over 7 in a match. Now, of course, 7 is okay, to be fair. I think in a one-off game, he would take 7. But I don't know. I really like, and this is where you come in again, how nailed is Enciso? He's 1 million cheaper.
Well,
he looked really good.
Pre-season will tell us more, but I personally wouldn't start with him, but I would go into him, downgrade someone to him if we think he's starting. But he is a great player. But there's so much choice in Brighton, and pre-season will tell us more. But at the moment, I think he will play every match, but I don't think he'll start every match. But that's so far, and we haven't had the preseason to tell us more. But yeah, it would be a good option. And I personally would be looking to downgrade Mitoma or indeed Mbeumo to Enciso at some point and save yourself a million, because you're going to need it elsewhere. The long short of it is I can't tell you at the moment. There's too many options in Brighton defence. We need preseason to tell us. The last midfielder to mention is Foden. So I've raided the Fantasy Football Scout members area for a couple of things. I've had a look at the heat map of Foden over last season to see where he played. This shows that he played predominantly on the left, so he was coming on for Grealish or replacing Grealish, or he was in another role, but he basically veered to the left. He very rarely on the right. And there was a lot of talk about Foden getting more minutes because Mahrez is out. So he can play on the right, obviously, but he hasn't. He rarely has played on the right. And I've also looked at the Man City minutes per expected goal involvement last season. And this shows that Haaland, as you would expect, is expected to have a goal involvement at least every match, every 87 minutes. De Bruyne is next with 122 minutes. Then you start getting towards every couple of matches territory with Alvarez 176 and Foden 177. So for Foden, this is for the minutes they played. So I know he didn't start a lot of games. So that's why I've sorted it by minutes per. This is the minutes on the pitch. So he is the fourth best in terms of an expected goal involvement for the time they're on the pitch. Then you got Mahrez just behind him, who is off to a Saudi Arabian club. And Grealish, who we assume is nailed as number 11. And he's 180 minutes. And then Gundogan, who has gone. And he was 198 minutes. So that shows that Foden is a great asset if he gets the minutes. So that's the key, isn't it, really? We all know Foden is a great asset. It's fourth best when he's on the pitch in terms of expected goal involvement in Man City. But will he get the minutes? So how confident are you with Foden and why is he in your team?
Well, your heat map might have just changed the mind a bit there because I was sort of thinking, well, with Gundogan gone and Mahrez seemingly gone, like Bernardo might be needed in centre mid, especially if De Bruyne is hurt, so therefore Foden on the right. But yeah, maybe that's not how it's going to go. And I think as well as with Reece James, Foden, you're sort of setting yourself up for pain. And yes, the hauls will be great, but I remember last season buying him just in time for like three benchings in a row. And that was just horrific. So yeah, because Manchester City are the first match of game week one and they're on the Friday night, there's a chance that first deadline, we might know if Foden starts at Burnley. But of course, even if he starts at Burnley, we don't know if he starts game week two and then it starts again. So could be devastating with or without. He's a good price point, though.
I agree with you, and he's currently in my first draft too, because I do think that if he does play, as those stats we just put up show, if he does play, he is one of the most to be involved and most likely to be involved. And Man City are one of the most attacking sides, if not the most attacking sides, against minnows and particularly at home. Even though I know their first game is away. So, yeah, I prefer to have him and then move away from him than not. So I'm likely to start with him if. But pre-season will tell us more, as we keep saying. And that's where you get it from from Fantasy Football Scout. We've got those minutes per match, pre-season minutes being tracked. Members can get access to that. And there's lots of articles as well. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you with Foden. I'm nervous, but I do think he's good. I'm going to skip over Haaland because it's obvious why you've got him. Just the way it is. He's really good. Jesus, just the last of your 11. Jesus is your second choice. And you can afford him there because you've got no Alexander-Arnold, no Salah. Is he likely to stay or could become Watkins or could become Nkunku?
I think now that he's in there, it's sort of fear taking him out a bit. As I said, started with the exact same two last season.
Yeah.
Those Arsenal fixtures do lend themselves nicely to a double up. Mm-hmm. But it just there's a severe lack of strikers right now because I'm not personally getting the Nkunku love at the moment. He'd have to come in. I don't want to start with him.
No, you can move to him, no problem. If he looks devastating against Liverpool and he's got a great game week two fixture, you can get him in, no problem. And it doesn't matter about price rises.
Yeah, so that's another good price point advantage. You can easily go Jesus to Nkunku, and yeah, because I would like some possibly some Chelsea coverage in attack. I really like the Raheem Sterling option. It could be him instead of Foden, for example. Traditionally a Sterling fan, and he's had the joint biggest drop in price. So that could happen. But yeah, Jesus just seems to be, it's just making the most of that Arsenal good run. It did initially on the launch video go Calvert-Lewin, but that is already just back at that.
I don't like that price point, and I don't like Calvert-Lewin as a FPL prospect because I don't trust him. But you're then relying on, and it could do well, but then you're relying on Crystal Palace strikers maybe to replace them with, or Ferguson at Brighton.
The West Ham ones.
Ferguson, great player at Brighton, but he's up against Welbeck, Undav, Pedro could come in, and Ciso can even play there. There's a lot of minutes risks there so far. Just finally on your bench, you've got Areola, so quite a common four million goalkeeper. Archer mentioned should stay and should get some minutes because Watkins can't play every minute of every league and cup game in Europe. And Archer, I can't see them going into their first European clash for ages with Archer leading the line. Possible, but Archer, we should get minutes if he stays. Baldock hasn't had any pre-season minutes yet. Bayer could be your 4 million Burnley option perhaps, or even Bell at Luton.
Yeah, well, we've got that Bayer, Bell and Baldock law firm sort of trio. it's just I like Baldock because I think he's a wing back.
Yeah.
Compared to the other two. And he's the other two now have a blank game week two, although that shouldn't really be a factor because we weren't going to play them anyway, were we really?
No.
I think there could be some other 4 millions if Branthwaite at Everton.
Yeah.
And they do have good fixtures to start off with. So that could be, that could really help.
Yeah, I'm definitely keeping my eye on Branthwaite pre-season minutes. And just finally, your Botman from your team, how surprised were you that he was 4.5?
Very, very surprised. couldn't believe it. He didn't score any goals, but he did have an XG that was at least two. Mm. So he's a tall guy in Trippier corners. He could easily be, he could have a goal in him, and Newcastle's clean sheets. You got a 4.5 million route into one of the great defences of last season. So that was... It sort of destroys all the other 4.5 options as well. There was potentially a debate about the other 4.5 defenders, but now Botman's priced at that.
Yeah.
It's he could change though if a rotation's needed. Newcastle's early fixtures aren't good.
I mean, I must admit, this is when I mentioned I've got Bowen and Foden, I've found the 0.5 I needed for that. From Botman, so I've actually got rid of Botman because the reason I thought that is because I won't want to play him for quite a while, and yes, he is quite a good, so he's people's first sub, but looking at Newcastle's fixtures, I mean, I'm happy for him to be a first sub against Villa, but then Manchester City away, Liverpool at home, Brighton away, I cannot see a clean sheet in those three. Then it gets much better. So it's around game week five, I'm going to want to arguably play Botman every week against Brentford, Sheffield United, Burnley, West Ham. Options there. But yeah, that's why I suddenly thought I'm going to go into game week two. And if I get an injury, I can rely on my first sub. But I really don't want to rely on a Newcastle defender against Manchester City.
Yeah. And last season, there was a spell where Newcastle kept lots of clean sheets but were struggling to score. And then all of a sudden, lots of goals, couldn't keep a clean sheet. Yeah. So it totally swung the other way. Yeah. And I suppose we probably need to put more stock into into those recent events than the ones in January. I thought the same, because if we are going to have two or three playing 4 million defenders, then it's a nice way to save half a million.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that the three starters are nailed on. You know, the Onana situation could save half a mil.
Yeah.
Botman, that's another half. So you've got another £1 million to play with there.
Steel can over Stupinan's another option. And yeah, I mean, I often find one of the things I end up doing pretty much every, apart from last season when money wasn't an issue, but pretty much every other season, I'm looking to save money somewhere. And you get to the situation where you get no one else to, there's no money to be saved. And so I start to think, yeah, already I can tell that I might want to get rid of Botman anyway early on. But I'm not sure. But yeah, something to think about. Anyway, Mark, thanks so much for joining me. It's great to get an insight into your team reveal. Lots of notable differences. We can start to see these drafts starting to change and emerge as pre-season is going, as we're getting more information and the comings and goings there. The lack of Alexander-Arnold and Salah, that's a definite kind of unique selling point there on lots of other teams I've seen. And then obviously we're starting to see Foden in a few drafts, and we're certainly seeing him in yours and in mine as well. But will they be there by the time game week one comes around? Who knows? Plenty more drafts to come, plenty more team reveals, plenty more stuff, articles, videos, podcasts on Fantasy Football Scout. Do subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Do press that like button and do have a look at our Twitter page and follow us there. We've got our Twitter details on the screen as well. And do keep up to date and be as prepared as you can be for game week one for the inevitable joy of all the points we're going to get. I'm not going to say inevitable disappointment, because that's not what we're about. Mark, thanks so much for joining me. Good luck in game week one.
Thank you. You too.